just sharing with Miss Kay Wednesday night. She's speaking on a matter of life and death. And I told her I had to repent after the service because about halfway through the teaching Wednesday night, I had a feeling like I should run to the altar and start to repent for our nation. And I sat there thinking, oh, I don't want to disrupt. How many know we need to get rid of that? We need to get on our faces before the Lord. And I believe there is deep repentance that needs to happen, and it starts with us. The message I'm going to preach tonight, I got this opportunity to go to Jesus Culture Conference just a while back, and I was deeply blessed with days of just sitting in the presence of God. And I don't know about you guys, but anytime you fast or you get in the presence of God, things start to come off of you very quickly. And a man got up and gave a message that I haven't been able to shake. And every day I replay this message, I go back over my notes, because God has just kind of bared parts of myself open that needed to be dealt with. And so the core of what he talked about, the story in the Bible I'm going to use tonight, but I want to share what God has started to reveal to me through this message. And I just pray that your heart will be so open, because I believe that tonight people are going to get rid of control. How many know that control can bind you quicker than anything else? We have an issue to control everything. And this started back in the garden, and I'm going to talk about this, but we're going to be focusing on the life of Moses. Would you bow your head with me as I begin? Lord, I thank you that you're already in the room. God, I thank you for your presence, God. Lord, who are we to step in, God, and just stand in your presence? God, would you move mightily through this service tonight? God, I pray that it wouldn't just be words, Lord, that you would penetrate the heart of your people, because you long and you desire a real relationship with them. We'll be careful to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 4, with me today? We're going to go to a very familiar scripture, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 2. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. How many of you like the story of Moses? Right? We're all pretty familiar with the story of Moses. There are so many things you could talk about in the life of Moses. But something I'm going to be talking about tonight is something Moses had with him a lot in his journey. How many know by the picture? What does it look like I'm going to be talking about? Yeah, the staff. I brought it tonight with me. Well, a staff, not Moses' staff. But I did bring a staff tonight. And can I just tell you how hard it is to find one of those? I needed Pastor Stevens to like make me a, you know, like a nice one, but I had to find one. But they're hard to find. So let's read. Let's start reading. So the Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" And Moses said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Wouldn't you too, if it became a serpent, right? Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach down your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. It turned back from a snake into a rod. Tonight I want to talk about the rod of Moses. I'm going to pick up my stick because it's quite large here. Isn't this cool? That's really neat, right? Okay, so I'm going to be talking about the rod tonight. And this scripture is so powerful because we see here that Moses does something supernatural with something that is very ordinary. How many of you pick up sticks around your house? Right? If bad weather comes in, you have to go pick up all the sticks, right? We know about the story of Moses that he was camouflaged in the wilderness for 40 years, somewhat running from what God had called him to, if you remember the story of Moses. And we know that about after 400 years of Egyptian bondage, God finds Moses in the desert, and he speaks to him from a burning bush. This is an amazing moment in Scripture when we see this. And we know in the story that Moses was not equipped with anything but a stick and sandals. Now, a lot of you know the story. God says from the burning bush, Moses, take off your sandals, because where you're standing is holy ground. Many of you know that Moses, they don't come out and say it, but he did not feel equipped to do what God had called him to do. And so, although it was holy ground, I believe too that God was asking Moses to take off his sandals so he'd stop running, that he would take them off and begin to listen to what God was calling him to do. Take your shoes off. Stop running. I want to speak very clearly about some things tonight. Many of us, due to fear, due to control, have been doing a lot what Moses was doing, running. Running from those things that we don't always want to face. I'm going to come back to the stick in a minute. Adam and Eve back in the garden, when we look at Adam and Eve, we see that Adam and Eve chose control over trust. How many times have you dealt with that in your own life? Think about it. It's hard, isn't it? Isn't it hard to let go of things that we like to control? And I've thought about my life over the years. I'm 35. And there's been so many times like Adam and Eve where God has asked me to trust him, but I wanted to control the situation. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, I don't really have a problem with control. We all do, right? We all do. And we saw that Adam and Eve, they did this in the garden. They said, no, God, I can't trust you. I want to control the situation. Something I heard the Lord say to me is, it really worship if we control it. Is our life really worship if we try to control it? I'd venture to say no. Being in the hand of the Father, where we truly are able to trust him, is where we need to be. My son deals with some fear with water, and we just put him in swimming lessons. And I was preparing for this sermon, and as I was watching my son in swimming lessons, the Lord brought back to remembrance something that had happened about a year ago, or 2 years ago, I think it was. How many of you ever remember taking swimming lessons when you were a child? Remember that? One of the things they try to get you to do is the back float, where you just like have to relax. And remember, they tell you your chest needs to be out, you need to, you know, just relax. And the instructor had her hand under my son's head and back, fully engaged with him. But do you think Hudson was looking peaceful? No, he's thinking, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna drown, you know. And she's like, just relax, I've got you. And as I watched Hudson floating around this pool with his head on her shoulder, and she just had him, I was reminded how God is with us. And I was brought back to a moment when we were on our cruise, that we were at a beach and they had a hammock, and I thought, oh, that looks nice, Hudson, let's swim to the hammock and lay in the hammock. Well, he's terrified of water. So I'm a pretty good swimmer, but when my son begins to freak out, I'm no longer a good swimmer, I can tell you that, because he's terrified. And so he's trying to keep himself above the water, which is making me go under the water. And I'm yelling at him, just relax. I can't get you to the shore if you're freaking out. You're drowning me, you know? And God gave me that picture that so many times God is asking us just to trust him. He cannot get us to where he's calling us, because guess what we're doing? Freaking out. And God's saying, if you would just trust me and you would relax in my hand, I could get you to where you need to be. But a lot of us are just wanting to control the situation. Have you ever been there? I have. I remember when first time God called me, I want to share these real things with you because I think it's important. First time God ever called me to preach and teach, I was in an audience, a pretty large audience, and a prophetic man said, there is a preach on you. There's an anointing on you. Sometimes you don't know how to say it or what to say, but God's going to call you to cause you to have a word in your mouth that you can't do nothing but tell people about it. And I remember thinking, oh, that terrifies me. I don't like getting in front of people. I get really nervous. My husband calls it my indicator. I wore a turtleneck so you can't see, but my neck starts getting really red because, believe it or not, this is really uncomfortable for me. Because this isn't something I would have chosen for myself. This is something God has called me to. And that sermon was videoed, and I went back to write down the prophetic message. And as the word was given to me, I saw leaders who I deeply respected shaking their head no in the video. And that planted such a seed of despair in my heart, because I had already felt like I could not do it. But to see leaders that I deeply respected shake their head no, there's no way. That wasn't in this church, by the way. Don't worry about it. These leaders have always believed in us. Let me tell you, the enemy began to plant deep seeds inside of me of fear, inadequacy, things that would want to shut me down and never be obedient to the call. And I began to control situations around me. And so if somebody would say, oh, would you lead a Bible study? I'd say, no, I'm okay. I don't really want to do that, because it was out of my control. Ever been there? Had somebody say something not great to you and it starts to plant a seed inside of you? And I allowed that thing to take deep root inside of me until I began to break that off and realizing that there was a story that the Bible was getting so much in me that it started to affect the people around me, the stories around me. And I started to realize, you know what, I don't care that I'm inadequate. I don't care that I'm ordinary. I don't care that I don't have everything together. God, I'm going to be obedient to what you've called me to be. And what Pastor Harris preached today, it's not about us. It's not about us that we need to be obedient to the Father. We are in his hands and he's in control. We see in the story of Moses that he also said something similar. God, I can't do this. Moses had a catalog of excuses to God. In this story, we know that maybe he wasn't eloquent in speech, but he was timid in a lot of ways. And God asks him one question: what's in your hand? Moses says, I've got a stick. God said, take that stick and throw it on the ground. And when he threw it on the ground, the Bible said that that stick turned into a snake. It became sensational and it became supernatural because of Moses' obedience. Now, I want you to recognize something. When the stick became the snake, what did Moses do? He ran. How many of you would do the same? I'm not going to lie, I probably would too. I'm like, that's a snake. I'm not going to deal with that. But then God goes even further. He says, pick the snake up by the tail. Now, I don't know much about snakes, I'll just be honest, but I do watch the Discovery Channel with my son time to time. And I do know that if you're going to handle a snake, you should pick it up by the head, behind the head, I think, so they don't bite you, right? But here in this story, we see God say, pick it up by the tail. I think what God was saying is, you handle the little end, I handle the big end. You start being obedient to me with the little things. You pick that snake up by the tail because I want to do something supernatural through you. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about me. I'm God. I'll handle the big end, you handle the little end. Sometimes in life, when we can't control the situation, we begin to be people who try to handle the big end. We try to pick that thing up. God, you're not doing this in the right timing. It's not moving fast enough for me. I feel it should be this way, so I'm just going to handle this. And God says, let your hand off of it. I want to handle the big end. You handle the small end. God wants to deal with our control, and he wants us to confront it tonight. Confront it. Sometimes God will make you confront your fear. The Bible says this: suddenly, when the stick that he threw down became a serpent, the minute Moses picked up the snake, what happened? Turned back into a stick. Obedience. God was doing the supernatural through something that was just ordinary. You see, that stick was common. It was ordinary. It was average. But when Moses relinquished it into the hand of God, it became supernatural. There is something about, Miss Kay, you touched on this with the remote control, those of you that were here on Wednesday night. There is something that the Lord is trying to get deep into our spirits, and it's this idea of control. When you take your fingerprints off of things and you let God start to handle the story, he does it quicker and better than you ever can. It's just what he does. And God is a God who is faithful, and he has people to reach, and he needs obedient followers to do what he has called us to do. Take our fingerprints off the rod. Suddenly it became supernatural, and that rod, that ordinary rod, could do things it could never do before. Sometimes we think we have to be special, don't we? Have you ever thought, oh, I'm not good enough. I can't talk to people. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not handsome enough. You know, I'm not young enough. I'm not old enough. Have you ever said any of that, right? I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not deep enough. You know, all these things. And we look for ways to be almost supernatural. And that's not what God is looking for. God is looking for ordinary because he's supernatural. This seems very surface right now. I'm about ready to go somewhere. You ready? And so I want to talk to you about that stick a little further. God used sticks in the Bible quite often. Maybe some of you are remembering other times God used sticks. I want to talk about some of those. One of the times was with Moses when he was standing at the Red Sea, and he had just told Pharaoh to let his people go. And here he is with, he's at the Red Sea, and he takes that staff and he holds it up, and the Red Sea parts. The Red Sea parts. Because you see, God only needed that ordinary stick to do that. That's all he needed. He needed someone to be obedient to what he had asked him to do. Obedience with a stick. Another place in the Bible that you see is when the bitter waters of Marah, and the people are thirsting to death. They're thirsting to death. And after being in the wilderness, God says to Moses, take a tree branch, get a stick, and put it in the bitter water. And the bitter water became sweet. Out of obedience. Some of you need to think about that story for a second, because there's people in this room who have had a lifetime of bitterness because there's been control. There's been control. And God's asking you, would you just step back and give the stick over to me? Give your life over to me. Be obedient so I can touch that bitter water and make it sweet again. You see, so many times we try to take it in our hands and make it be something that we want it to be. Maybe we think, you know what, the presence of God needs to move this way. I've thought that many times. God, are you going to move this way in a service? And then he moved totally different than what I thought he was going to do. And I think God would be moving so much faster if we would just let our hand off the stick. God is a faithful God. How about the time where the widow woman's about to die and she's going to go prepare her last meal for herself and her son? Pastor Sunny, would you please put 1 Kings 17:12 up? She says, as the Lord your God, I don't have anything baked, only a handful of flour in the jar and a bit of oil in the jug. Just now I'm gathering a couple of sticks in order to go prepare it for myself and my son so that I can eat it and die. This woman is gathering sticks when a prophet comes up to her and gives her the formula for a miracle. Pastor Harris addressed this, being busy picking up sticks. But God has a word for you. God has a miracle waiting for you. Because Because sometimes when God is going to do something miraculous, some of you have waited for a miracle a long time in your life. Some of you have been praying for things. Some of you have been wondering, what is it going to take for this thing to happen? Sometimes God just needs a stick. When they were building the school, the prophets, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, one of the men was swinging the only axe they had. Okay, so if there were women, they would not have been swinging the only axe they had. We would have been like, hey, listen, you need to be careful with that axe because something bad could happen. But the man is swinging the only axe they have, and what happens? The head of the axe goes off and it sinks. And the men are starting to freak out because they need that axe, right? Have you all heard this story? And the axe head flew and went into the Jordan River, and God said to the prophet, take a stick and touch the river. And when it touched the river, the stick, the Bible said, began to float. That's amazing. The axe head started to float. That is amazing. So many of us go through life feeling like we're sinking because we have not given God complete control over areas of our life. How about the barbarians on a certain island? They needed convinced that there was one true living God, and the Apostle Paul is gathering sticks by the fire when a serpent bites him, right? And when Paul doesn't die, right, because it's a miracle, they start to believe that this is the one and only true God. All God needed was some sticks, right? That's all he needed. You know, there's a time coming where people need to know these things. We've been in a time right now, I believe, the Midwest is marked. There's something happening in the Midwest. I believe that. But I'm letting you know right now, this anointing that's coming, we got to get out of the way, and we've got to let God do this. He has a message for people, and we have to become those sticks, obedient and useful for God. Where do you think Moses picked up his staff? Do you think it was in the desert when he was wandering? Sometimes, you know, we go through such hard things in our life and we wonder, why have we gone through this? It's for us to pick up stuff. He would use that stick later for God to do mighty miracles. And sometimes when you're in a season where you don't understand why you've been brought to this point, God's asking you to pick something up along the way. God is a faithful God. And when you don't understand it and you're going through a dry spell, God's going to remind you how faithful he is. Moses was ready for the test because he had seen God do the supernatural, right? God had practiced with him. And we know the story that he goes to Pharaoh and he says this, let my people go. And Pharaoh pretty much says to him, why should I listen to you, right? And Moses says, you know, he looks at him like, I have something. I'm sure Moses was strutting a little bit because he knew God does miracles. I just watched him do this in private. So I know he can do it in front of you. And we see that Pharaoh says, why should I believe you? And he pulls out the stick and he whops it on the floor. Can you imagine this? In front of thousands, probably. And you see that ordinary common stick turn into a snake, something sensational. And we know that Pharaoh yawns, right? He's like, yeah, that's not that great. I've seen this before. And he calls for his magicians, right? And some of the commentaries, I actually looked this up, they believed that serpents were encased in silicone so that when they would throw it on the ground, it would break and the serpents would come out of it. And so we see that the magicians do this. And we call this sleight of hand, where to the eye it looked real, but we know it wasn't real at all. So he threw it down. They threw it down and did a trick. And it looked like the same thing Moses had done. But how many know that when Moses' serpent started swallowing the other snakes, something began to happen? Because Moses' serpent began to swallow up all the trickery, all the deception, and all of the lies in front of everyone. There's a lot of false doctrine being taught around the nation, around the world. There's a lot of false gods. There's a lot of false theologies. But everyone knows in this room, we've heard about Buddha. We've heard about Muhammad. We've heard about New Ageism. But when this is all said and done, it started with one and it's going to end with one. Amen. There's a time coming where God is going to be the only thing that's standing. He's going to swallow up the lies and the deception. There's only one true God, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Moses did an amazing thing in front of thousands of people. But the greatest part of this miracle was not that he took something simple and ordinary and common and he put his anointing upon it. You know, God can do that. He's God, right? His presence is everywhere. But something that stands out to me, I think the greatest part of this story is that when the miracle took place and the stick became the snake, the greatest part of the miracle is when Moses picked up that staff and it became a stick again. When God begins to release his power and his presence, yes, the anointing's going to be tangible. Yes, it is tangible. But the true miracle is, can you become a stick again in the hand of an almighty God? I know that there's people sitting in here just by God just kind of poking at my heart right now, where it's scary to let go of control to see what God wants to do. But can I just tell you that when you remain in the hands of the Father, you are in the safest place you can be. Maybe the secret to the supernatural that we've been crying out for the presence of God, maybe the reason we haven't seen it in our family and in our homes and in our churches, maybe the reason we haven't seen that presence be poured out and swallow up everything that we're facing, maybe it's because God's asking the question, can you go back to just being a stick after I use you? Are you on your face so much in front of the Lord that you allow God to strip you pride? Let that pride go. Let that control go. So when God begins to pour out his presence, that we can just go back to being a stick. Can God bless you supernaturally and it not change who you are? Can he do that? Can God trust you to do something and then go back to just being a stick? The challenge is not, can God find somebody to bless? The challenge is, can you be humble and dependent on a holy Father? In Mark chapter 16, there's a scripture that said, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will take up snakes or serpents, and it will not hurt them. I think what's going on right now is that when God begins to pour out his anointing, yes, we long for that. Yes, we want that. But we have to be very careful to stay humble in the hand of God. Because I believe that those things can hurt us. They can hurt us. We have to stay, like I shared about Kay, we have to stay at the altar. Anybody ever felt that before during a sermon? You just start to feel that pulling, get to the altar. But how many of you have ever had that feeling like, oh, people are looking at me. Oh, people are going to think something's wrong with me. Something is wrong with you. There's something wrong with all of us. Get to the altar, right? It's something wrong with all of us. And sometimes, can I just tell you, it just takes one. It just takes one to be obedient, to run to the altar, and then it breaks it for everybody. It's that humble humility to be broken in front of God, to say, God, I'm just a stick. Just a stick. K Can you go back when you've had good times in life and God has blessed you, or when you've gone through bad times in life and you start to get bitter? Can you just go back to remember, God, I'm just a stick to be used by you. You don't owe me anything. You don't owe me anything. If all Jesus did was die on the cross, that would have been enough. That would have been enough. But so many times we expect Jesus to do more for us. I want to say something that's not popular in belief, but let's just say it. There's going to be more stick days in your Christian walk than supernatural days. And who you are and what you do in those moments where you are just laying in the hand of the Father will impact your life more than you will even know. God wants to use his people mightily. He does. But there is a level of brokenness that I think we as a church have to get to. Humble and broken in front of the Father. I never read where God used that snake again, but I do read where God used that stick again in the Bible. Because the Bible said one of the greatest miracles in the Old Testament was the story of when God was going to choose the first high priest. There were 12 tribes, and all the leaders said, I should be the one. I'm God's choice. I'm God's man. And every tribe had the leader who said, I should be the priest. And God said, I want everybody to take a stick. Take a stick off that tree that's dead. And I want you to bring it to the Ark of the Covenant, and I want you to place it on the Ark of the Covenant. 12 sticks representing 12 tribes, 12 dead sticks. And God says this, the stick that was cut down and is dead, the one that comes back to life and buds and blossoms in my presence, that's the one I choose. That's the one I choose. We know that 12 dead sticks laid side by side and that one was going to come back to life. How do you know that Jesus is God's son? Because they killed Muhammad? Because they killed Buddha? Because they killed Jesus and they placed them all on a tomb? But one of those sticks came to life. One of them. That's God's heart for his people. Because you see, without him, we're just a dead stick. That's what we are. Without his presence, we don't bud. We don't produce what we need to produce unless we are just laying in his hands. The Ark of the Covenant had three things in it. God's presence. It says in the Bible, the Ark of the Covenant carried God's presence. And God wanted the Ten Commandments, the commandments of stone. You all remember that? He also wanted something else. He wanted a pot of manna that represented the wilderness so that the people would always remember that he was the source. Right? But there was one other thing in the Ark of the Covenant. Ten Commandments. The manna, what else was in there? Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod was in the Ark of the Covenant. God didn't want something sensational. He wanted to be close. To the ordinary, common stick. Because it was useful for him. He wasn't looking for the sensational. God said, I want that in my box. God resists the proud. He clings close to the humble. If you want to have God's hand on your life and you want to experience supernatural blessings beyond description, you cannot approach the Father with arrogance. And control will shut that off. Just as I am with one plea, but thy blood was shed for me. Lord, here I am. The secret of Moses was that he was known as the meekest man alive. Moses knew how to keep being a stick, even after God had used him over and over and over and over again. I realize that there's not when I preach a lot of times, I do like to bring a lot of depth, but I want to say one thing. It is apparent to me that God wants to use ordinary people that humble themselves before him. There can be no more control when it comes to obedience to the Father, that he's asking his people to relinquish it, to get their fingerprints off of it, so that he can move mightily. I realize this is a weird message maybe to a lot of you, but I know God is calling his people to repentance and to complete obedience. There are people in this room that the Lord wants to pour his anointing out to use mightily. There are relationships in this room that need to be mended that have been broken for years. God is about ready to release his presence. I believe that with all my heart. But guess what's stopping? We are. People are. I think it's easy to talk about addictions and these things, and we do preach those things, but something we don't talk about a lot is control. And the Lord has been very clear to my heart. I struggle with it, and I know I do, that until we give God control over every area of our life. Pastor Harris said it perfect today. God, you can have this part, but you can't have this part. No, God's asking for it all. And if there is any part of you that you still have not relinquished control over to the Father, it's time. It's time to confront it. It's time to get on your face before the Father and say, "Take it, God. Here's my stick. I let go." Would you stand with me for a moment? Pastor Sunny, would you lower the lights? I'm going to have you play that song in just a moment. Would you just repeat after me? I just ask right now that you would just, if this has just struck a chord in your heart, that you would just get real with God right now. This is just you and him. It doesn't matter who's around you. This is just a moment where we're asking God to take control. Would you just repeat after me? God, use me. God, here's my stick. Ordinary, average, but God, I relinquish it. I take my fingerprints off of it. And I put it in your hands. And if you bless me, I'll go back to just being that stick. God, I give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you a moment. Pastor Sonny's going to play a song. And this is a moment. I believe this is a holy moment. God's been pulling on the hearts of his people in this church for weeks now. I have sensed it. I have felt it. And I have purposely not preached long tonight because the Lord told me, get out of the way. I want you just to open the altars and let my people come to my feet and lay down control and let me move. So as Pastor Sunny plays that song, would you just in obedience, you can stay where you're at or you come to the altar, but I will be the first one at the altar to repent for where I have not trusted God. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Sunny.
Any fear, any stain, any sin, and any shame. Your love can overcome the deepest grave. Any fear, any stain, any sin, and any shame. Your love can overcome the deepest grave. Any fear, any stain, any sin, and any shame.
You are my source.
darkness hide. Let your voice call the dead to any fear, any stain, any sin, any shame. Your love can overcome the deepest grave. Any fear, any stain, any sin, and any shame. Your love can overcome the deepest grave. Any fear, any stain, any sin, and any shame. Your love can overcome the deepest grave. Any fear, any stain, any sin, and any shame. Your love can overcome the deepest grave. Stain, any sin, and any shame. Your love can overcome the deepest grave. Any fear, any stain, any sin, and any shame. Your love can overcome the deepest grave. You are my hope.
Sticks to reach other sticks for Christ. Lord, at the right time, when you see it fit, may you make us extraordinary and supernatural, then remind us to go back to being a stick. It's for your glory, God, and your honor, and for your praise. Thank you for this move tonight, God. Thank you for this word. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for humility. Because when we're humble, we recognize and we get in the right stance to recognize who you are and whose we are. We love you. We worship you and we praise you. May you go with us now, God. And this week, when you say, fall down and become a serpent and do the supernatural, we're going to do it. We're going to do it, God. Thank you that you're the God of second chances. Thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the empower, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and the empowerment of your boldness as you go with us. Let us be led by your Spirit. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. If you're being ministered to by the Lord, feel free to stay where you're at. If you feel called upon and you want to pray for somebody, feel free to go to the altar and pray for them. But if you have to pick up some kids or you got to go, feel free to just keep your conversations in the foyer, please. We'll just play another worship song and let God just minister to us, whatever you see fit. We love you. We hope to see you Wednesday night. Go and change the world, because the world changer lives in you. Amen.